So it's sunny outside, huh? Yeah, it's nice. Who likes the sun? Who likes the sun? You do? Okay. Who likes the clouds? Okay. Yeah, so sometimes I like a little hazy day. Sometimes people say down the shore, I want it to be so high. Yeah, but then when like, you're baking, it's like, give me a little cloud cover, you know? But sunny days are nice, you know? And we like having them. It's like going to be 90, and now next week's going to be 60 again, right? We're into the roller coaster weather again. But, you know, the sun is important to us. You know how much we need it. There's a very popular song, one that you have, by no doubt, know. It's a song that's actually one of the most streamed songs of all, very universally recognized. And we look at it as a very, you know, upbeat, joyful song. And it's a song written by George Harrison of the Beatles, and it's called Here Comes the Sun. And I'm not going to sing it to you. Okay, no, I'll tell you. But Here Comes the Sun. And you, many of you know that. You hear it a lot in commercials and advertisements and in movies. It's a, you know, it's a very, very popular, one of the more popular songs. But that song, you may or may not know, has a backstory, as all songs do, you know. And while the song sounds like a very carefree, upbeat song, it was actually born out of very intense personal darkness that he was going through in his life. He wrote it in 1969, and he was going through just heavy burdens. The manager of the Beatles had just passed away. The band was fracturing. He had actually already left the group for a short time. You know, he came back again, but then they broke up. You know, many of you know the old history of that group from back in the late 60s, early 70s. But he personally was facing really bad legal troubles. His mother was terminally ill. He was felt trapped and suffocated by endless meetings with accountants and lawyers and people and this and that, day in and day out, and he just kind of couldn't take it anymore. And one morning he had another whole day of scheduled, as the story goes, of meetings and with, you know, the attorneys and the accountants and everybody else, and he just couldn't do it, and he just took off. He blew it all off. And apparently he ended up at one of his close friends, Eric Clapton, many of you know him, the guitarist, and just he had to get away. He just had to get away. So one day as he was there, kind of hiding out or hiding away and getting away from everything, they were walking through the garden. And if you've been to or know anything about England and their weather, it's dreary a lot, especially in the wintertime. They got a lot of rain and wind and clouds, and you know, and it was one of those heavy, hard winters and a heavy, hard winter day, and they're walking around in the garden. And apparently as they were walking around, at one point the sun just broke through. And he felt the warmth of the sun on his face. And when he felt that, he was so overwhelmed that he borrowed one of, I guess, you know, Clapton's guitars or whatever, and he began to, he said the song poured out of him. You know, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. You know, here comes the sun. You know, I say it's all right. And this was his kind of relief or release, you know. That's kind of the backstory of that song. You know, a song that is a very upbeat song, but it was born out of darkness. It was born out of a crisis. It was born out of a pervading, you know, a darkness that came from situations, some of which were his own making, and some of which he had no control over. And that's the thing about darkness, how it comes into our life. It comes from many different factors, many different ways. Many times we're the cause of it. You know, many times it's things that are just happening around us. Many times it doesn't have to be, as we always think, some big crisis that happens and, oh, I'm going through a time of real deep darkness. It's just, sometimes it's just all around us in little things. And sometimes it's a bunch of little things that are just in our life that we just feel the pervading darkness around us on the edge. It's, you know, one of my least favorite, and it makes me chuckle, meteorological terms is partly sunny or partly cloudy. Did you ever see that? What denotes partly sunny versus partly cloudy? Like, I always wondered, like, what is that? And I'm sure there is some type. Don't write me letters and send me the emails, and you'll tell me how you're a meteorologist and there is a technical way. I'm sure there is. But I just say this. I think if it's partly cloudy, you're a pessimist. If it's partly sunny, you're an optimist. I mean, it's like, okay, there's some clouds, some sun. And most days, there is usually some clouds and some sun. Yeah, that's how it is. But, you know, what is that? But we realize that darkness is in our world. You know? It is. It's part of the human existence. It's part of the human experience. We all have darkness in our life. Sometimes all the time, sometimes more than others. But there's always something. And that's why I get to the partly cloudy, partly sunny. Sometimes it always seems like it's just on the fringe, you know? It's just there. Things are okay. You're kind of on the sunny side of the street, right? But you're kind of like there's some clouds and some darkness right over here, and you're hoping that it doesn't creep any more over to you here. Just keep it at bay. I'm kind of doing okay, but there's always stuff that may be right there. And yeah, I don't want this darkness to press over, and I don't want to get into depression and think about all my failures and all the things and my problems and all the uncertainties of life. Because sometimes that's what it is. It's just the chaos of life. Can feel overwhelming that it feels like darkness, you know? And it's real. It's there. And when we're in that darkness, when we're in that time, in that situation, when we're in the nighttime, so to speak, or we're in the idea of where it's just there on the border of the light, when we're in those times, sometimes you feel that the night or the darkness will never go away. It's just always going to be there. It's just part of what it is. I got to just learn to deal with it. I got to hang in with the darkness. And sometimes when it gets really dark, you feel like the light will never shine again. So this world has darkness in it. Not only externally, but internally. And you may be experiencing a lone, cold, lonely winter of your soul, of your heart, maybe today, or maybe you just came through that experience, or maybe you're praying that that experience doesn't come, or you see a little darkness on the surface and you don't want it to get any worse, and maybe, whatever it is, but you look back at that story about George Harrison, and he got some relief by the physical sun just happening to shine on his face. And that moment that he felt that, it just awakened something within him to be able to bring forth this song, which I'm sure had some type of, medicinal, effect upon him as he was able to create this song that became, a big hit. It's something that poured out of him and probably brought him some type that things will get better. But the thing about it is, no song, no change in situation, no positive outlook, none of those things will actually be able to truly change the darkness. It might dispel it for a second, for a moment, for a season, but it can't do anything with it. And if you're waiting for the darkness that is in your life now, or the darkness that's just hovering over near your life, if you're waiting for that to go away by a change of circumstances, a change of outlook, or a change of the weather, at least when the sun's shining, you ever notice how, night times are always the worst? People say, if I can just get through the night, when the sun comes out in the morning, is how many people wake up at night with all that, oppression and depression and anxieties and fears. And then in the morning they say, well, at least it's another day. And maybe today will bring a little better. We look for that hope. But if we're looking for all those changes to change the darkness within us, we're never going to see it, truly. And instead of looking for a change of the weather or a change of situations, what you really need to be looking for is a person. You need to be looking for someone who can make that change permanently. So as we look at how to navigate this darkness that is pervasive in our human existence, as we learn how to navigate the dark hours of our life, if you will, or the times that we're dealing with, the partly sunnies and the partly cloudies, whatever it may happen to be, we need to take a look into God's Word. And I hope you want to do that this morning. Because if we were just going to study the Beatles and George Harrison, then we are not going to get too far as really finding the truth, okay? As much as you might like their music, that's not where you're going to find the answers. But the Word of God is where we'll find answers. We want to find in God's Word that we will know what many of us do know, but sometimes we forget, and I will address that a little bit in a few moments in our message, but we forget sometimes that He and He alone, Jesus alone, is the only one that can truly dispel darkness. And not only will He dispel it temporarily, He will dispel that darkness eternally and permanently. So again, George Harrison found comfort in a little light shining on his face, and that sunlight helped him to kind of get through another day or whatever. But we know that he was ultimately looking in all the wrong places to find the answer to the darkness of his soul. Turn with me first to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn there. And in that particular chapter, as Peter is writing to the church, Peter is writing to us and he's saying to us certain characteristics that will, and if they define our life, if those characteristics define our life, that we will find ourselves walking as we should as children of God. That if there's certain characteristics that I'm not going to get into today, that's not really the focus of the message, but he's saying that if these characteristics are in your life, he says, then when you do these things, you're going to be doing well. And we pick it up in verse 10 where he says, now, therefore, brethren, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, so if you see these characteristics in your life and you're living these characteristics, not just externally, but they are a part of actually who you are, and when you do that, you will know something, that this will be an indication to you that you're in the right place, that you're following the right light, and if you are, you're going to know that you have been called by God and that you are surely in Him, and that you will not be doing what it says in another place in Scriptures where it says to us that we have to make sure that the light we think is in us is really not darkness. See, we have to make sure that the light that we know that we try to find within us, that is the real light. See, so many people maybe think, oh, look, I'm going to follow that light, and I light, and that's light where that's my answer right there. They keep walking towards that light, but that light is really a train coming at 150 miles an hour ready to smack them and run them over. See, many times as George Harrison and others found out, oh, I found a new way. It's illuminated my life, illuminated, and then he found himself in more darkness by following Eastern, you know, mysticism and Hare Krishna or whatever else would be. Oh, this light, that's my answer, but it was really no light at all. It was really more darkness. So Peter says there's some things that we'll understand in our life. When those things are present, we will know that we are surely, truly in Christ. And if we are living for Him, then we will never stumble. Yes, we'll go through some hard times. Yes, it will get dark. We might not be able to see our way to put our foot forward. But we'll find out something, that if we're following Him, we'll have the light to walk this life, to walk this road together. So an entrance will be supplied to us, not only now, but abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So make sure we are in the light. Make sure that we're in the true light. Now, Peter knew this was important. And I know it's important, and I hope you know it's important. But he recognized how important it was, and he also recognized something else, that you and I, no matter how much we think we got this stuff all covered, we forget a lot of stuff. We do. We forget a lot. It looks like about half the church forgot to come to church this morning. You know? We forget stuff. Gloria gives the announcements. You know what somebody says? Are we ever going to have a meeting again? Well, I just said it 2 minutes ago because we forget. We don't always, like, receive it. We just, like, it kind of is there. We sit in church Sunday after Sunday and we hear the word of God, and then sometimes we go and we forget what we heard. Peter knew that, and he says, you know what? For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. For though you know and are established in the present truth, he says, I know, you know it, you've heard it, you've even accepted it and you receive it, but you do forget it. And you know, we forget it when the darkness begins to invade our life. How quickly do we forget about the truth of God's word? That happens so many times. It's like the darkness begins to come in and we go, ah, it's dark and it's never going to get light again. Wait, have you forgotten the promises? Have you forgotten his word? Have you forgotten? Peter doubles down on this. He says, yeah, I think it's right. As long as I'm in this tent, meaning this body, you know, there's while he's still alive, to stir you up by reminding you knowing that I surely have to put off this tent, as the Lord showed him. In other words, he said, I'm going to leave this life soon, but while I'm still here, I want to keep reminding you of the things that you may have heard before, that you may have even once known and once received, but you have a tendency to forget, so I'm going to keep reminding you. Now, I need to be reminded all the time, even though I have a good memory, but I know I always need to be reminded of God's word. And I'm so thankful for those who can speak God's word into my life. And as that word comes into my life, either through my own Bible reading and Bible study or having others share the word of God with me or testify, you guys don't know how many times, Tuesday nights or Thursday nights when I can just sit back and listen. Somebody has a beautiful insight or comment. I say, oh, Lord, that's so great. It's wonderful because, Lord, I needed to hear that, And what it does to me is to stir me up. To stir me up into remembrance, to stir me up into remember what I believe, what I know to be true, and in face of everything else, no, God's word is still true, and he's still on the throne. And as it stirs me up, as I can then come and stand before you guys and to preach and teach his word, I can be stirred up so I can stir everybody else up. And that's important. And we have to keep reminding one another. So let's speak the word of God to each other. So he says, moreover, he says, he's like really into this thought now. I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And as God would have it, as he was writing these words, he may not have known it at the time, but he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write scripture. Scripture to what we're still reading today. Don't be surprised at things that you do, not that they're going to become scripture. We have all of scripture. We're not going to get any more scripture. But don't be surprised that things that the Lord may be speaking into your life today that you share with somebody else may have a long-lasting effect in their life. Don't discount those things. He says, so I'm going to be careful that you always have a reminder that even after I die. And then he goes on to remind them of something that they knew and heard before that you know and you've heard before, but you have to remember and I have to remember. He says to the church, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I just want you guys to remember something. Now, we're many years now removed from the events of Jesus and his, birth and his life and his, his death on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension. He said, we're past a lot of that. It's many years have passed by. He said, but I want you to remember something. We didn't just all get together, us apostles, after Jesus died and say, we better make up some good stories because we're going to be out of business now. He died and now, this movement's going to stop and we left our fishing jobs and we got to do something to make a living. So we'll make up some stories. We'll make up some fables. And we'll say, Jesus did this, and Jesus did that, and we'll do this, and blah, 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 okay. He says, no, we didn't do that. He said, we're telling you what we saw and we were eyewitness to, not cunningly devised fables. But when we talked about the power and the coming of him, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, Peter was in a unique situation, not only to have walked with Jesus on this earth when he was there and to see the miracles and to hear the teaching and to even be a part of, to see the resurrected Lord, but even at one point before Jesus went to the cross, Peter, along with James and John, had an opportunity to go up on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. You know that story? And Jesus was transfigured where he outshone the sun, right? He was brighter than the sun. He had a chance to do that. He's going to remind him of that. He says, listen, for we receive from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son. He said, we were witnesses of that. We saw that. He says that we heard the words come from the heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. He said, we are not telling tales. We're not telling stories. We're telling you the truth of the things that we experienced. And we got to see him in his majesty and glory. And he says, I want to remind you of this. Remind you of these things. And as he says that, he goes on in verse 19 to say, and so we have the prophetic word. All God's word is prophecy. I'm telling you, everybody thinks it just tells the future. No, it's God spoke recorded words for us. All God's word is prophetic. It's powerful. It's a sure word of prophecy that speaks of who? Jesus Christ. He said, we have the sure word of the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. See, it's the word of God. It's the power of the word of God. It's the truth of the word of God. It's the word of God that's been passed on to us that as we can read and we can meditate and we can study and we can apply and heed to it. You know, not just read it words, but heed to it. Say, Lord, this is something that I'm going to hold on to. This is something that I'm going to not only just listen to. I'm going to make it a part of me. I'm going to make it a part of who I am. I want it to be a very aspect of my life. I want it to speak into my heart, and I want that light. Your word to shine the light into the darkest places of my life. And it's a word that is true and confirmed. We were not asked to believe things by blind faith, just because I said so. God's word is confirmed to us. Yes, it's faith, but it's a faith that is measured. It's a faith that is real and a faith that we can grasp and hold on to. And the combination of the evidence together with the simple, you know, proclamation of the word of God is so powerful. You know, we've said it many times. You've heard it many times. Just the fact of Jesus' birth and the things that he fulfilled that were confirming prophecy about the Messiah. You know, if one man just fulfilled 8 of those 300-plus prophecies, if he just did 8 of them, the mathematical probability is off the charts. It's considered impossible if somebody, one man, can fulfill 8 of them. He fulfilled all 300 of them. You can't even think of that. It's a sure word of prophecy and the truth of the word of God and the accuracy of the word of God and the power of the word of God. Remember what the Father said from heaven. This is my Son. I am pleased in him. But you know what he says? Listen to him. We have to be reminded of who and why we listen. We listen to him. We're not looking again for a change of circumstance. We're looking for someone. And only Jesus Christ is the one who can come and bring light into the most darkest places of our soul. So pay attention to that light. Pay attention to that light. Until the day star arises. Yeah, one day our faith shall be sight. One day we'll be with him in glory. But right now, in the darkness of everyday life, when we hold on to the word of God, when we are reminded of the word of God, when we heed the word of God, when we rejoice in the word of God, when we obey the word of God, every morning, and no matter how dark it is, the day star of Jesus Christ and his word arises in your heart. Let's turn real quickly to another part of the Bible, John chapter 8. In this story, in John chapter 8, very familiar story, you know this. Jesus is teaching. He's been teaching around the temple area. And he's been going back and forth with the religious leaders, with the crowds, back and forth. He's saying such amazing words to them. And in the middle of that teaching, they throw this woman at his feet. We found her committing adultery in the very act. We bring her to you because you know what the word says? She should be stoned. What do you say? What do you say about this horrible woman? Well, we know the story of Jesus bending down and writing something in the dirt, saying those famous words of he who is without sin cast the first stone. And they all dropped their stones and walked away. In verse 10, we pick up the story when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Hey, girl, where's the shouting mob? Hey, where are those ones that were foaming from the mouth, that had the stones in their hands, that were ready to hurl them at you, to kill you, when I told them that they could do that, that that's what the law says, that they could just do that? Where are they all now? Where are all those ones who wanted to take you from your darkness and bring you into greater darkness? And by the time they were going to bring you into greater darkness, they would bring themselves into even greater darkness themselves. Where are they now? Where did they all go? Is there anybody here to condemn you? Now, the truth of the matter is, none of those people had a right to condemn her. Yes, we know what the law says, and I'll get to that in a moment. We know what the Word of God says, and we'll talk about that in a second. But those people, none of them had a right. They all had the same sin in their lives. They were all an equal part, no matter how self-righteous they felt themselves to be. None of them had a right, but there was one standing there that had a right to condemn her, and that was Jesus himself. So he says, where are all these accusers? Where are all these ones? Is there anybody left to condemn you? No, Lord. No one. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It's important to realize what Jesus was saying to this woman. Jesus didn't say to her, you know, hey, you know, you're just a human and stuff happens, you know. Don't worry about it. Live and let live. Just go from this place and go around and find somebody else and maybe they won't drag you out of your tent next time or out of your house next time, you know. It's cool, man. It's cool. You know, everybody has their issues, you know. He didn't say that to her. Jesus recognized her sin. But guess what? She also knew her sin. She was fully exposed. She was out in front. The whole crowd. Here she is, an adulterous woman committing adultery. We even caught her in the very act. Here she is. She knew her sin, and she knew it well. And this was a woman who had plenty of darkness in her life. You say, how do you know? Well, that instance right there will tell you. If she didn't have it before, she had it right now. But more than likely, she had it from before. And she was dealing with darkness in her life. Dealing with darkness because you know where darkness comes from? Sin. See, when God created us, he created the world, the universe. Did you know that? Anybody know that? Okay, good. I have to make sure you're awake, so I have to give you an easy one. Okay. He created the stars and the sun that shined on George Harrison's face. He created that sun, right? But he's greater than that sun. And he created all things. And when he created human beings in his image, in his likeness, and put us in this world he created, guess what? He put us there without sin, in a perfect environment. And guess what? It could have stayed that way. It was always supposed to be sunny. It was. It was always supposed to be, my breath don't stink. I ate last night, I didn't gain an ounce. My hair looks beautiful every day. I don't even sweat, and I don't smell, man. Woo! It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day. Until we did what? Until we disobeyed God and we sinned. And what did we do? We brought sin into the world and we brought death by sin and we brought all the darkness that comes with it. So, lady, where are your accusers? Nobody's left, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Now, if he stopped right there, it would be kind of not telling us the whole story. But he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, understand, Jesus knew she sinned because she knew she sinned. He didn't have to tell her, you're a sinner. She knew it standing before him. But she had to understand, I believe, this is my opinion, but I had to believe that when the howling mob left and she stood in front of him, she knew she was standing in somebody completely different. Even though she did not see the eyes of flame of fire, she probably looked into those eyes and said, like the woman at the well, he told me things about me that nobody else knew. As he looked into her heart, into her soul, he says, all right, I'm not going to condemn you, but go and sin no more. Repent, change your ways. This is it. But he had the authority to say it because he and he alone had the authority to forgive sin, not to coddle sin, not to play with sin, but to forgive sin because he and he alone was going to be the one in a short time after that event was going to hang on the cross and take her sin upon himself. He became, understand how I'm saying this, right? He became an adulterer on the cross. Do you understand? Because he took sin. He never did sin. He never sinned. Please, I got to say that out so you don't throw me out. I'm not blaspheming. He never sinned, but he took our sin upon himself. He took her adultery upon himself. He took her shame. He took her guilt. He took her darkness upon himself. Right? But not only did he do that, it wasn't just an exchange, here, I'll take it. No, he took it, but then the wrath of the Father, in whom he said the Son was well-pleasing to him, he took the wrath of the payment for that sin upon himself, the penalty upon himself. So he had the authority to say to her, go and sin no more, I don't condemn you, because he could forgive her. See, remember, when she was standing there, even though the accusers were not there, she now had to realize, I got to go home. My husband's probably going to divorce me if he doesn't beat me up for, you know, whatever, you know. I got now all my neighbors knowing, if they didn't know before, that I'm an adulteress and all this stuff. I got this in my life. And guess what? Jesus addressed all of that. Go and sin no more. Go. There's a new way to live. But you got to live the new way. You got to live the new way. You got to get that darkness that's in there. It's got to be dispelled. Don't live in the darkness anymore. Live in the light now. He told her to repent, not to continue in the sin. You know, I know that some of us are here and we know the truth. And I'm reminding you today, if you know the truth, live in the truth. Do not live in the way you used to live before. There's a new way of living when you're in Christ Jesus. Because if you're not living that way, that darkness is pervading into your life. So he gave her hope that she could have now freedom and walking in the light of him, the light of his word. He gave her hope that whatever shame others would try to put on her life, she would know that he already forgave her. And you know, if he doesn't condemn us, who can condemn us? She would know that she had the light in her life because she was freed by the only one that can set her free. She needed that hope because the consequences of her sin, the consequences of our sin are so severe. And without the hope of Jesus that comes into our life, that brings the light of his word into our life, that lets us know that we can be forgiven by the only one that can forgive us, we will be hopelessly enmeshed in the darkness eternally. And Jesus now speaks to the crowd. So if you take John's gospel, and sometimes John's gospel chronologically is a little hard. You have to follow sometimes. But if you take these chapters or these verses chronologically, you kind of get the fact he was teaching around the temple area. He was in the midst of that. In the midst of his teaching, they throw the woman in front of him. He has the encounter with the crowds, then the woman. She leaves, and he turns back to the crowds, and he says to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, it's interesting that time that he was doing this was around the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the things they used to do is they used to take all the illumination of the lights that they had, the candlesticks and all that stuff, and they used to come and light up the temple outside area in the court of the women, which was outside, and they would light that area up during the Feast of Tabernacles, usually on the first day. And the women would dance and they would praise God and all these different things. And what they didn't realize is that the one standing before them was the only one that can bring real light to their lives. Yes, God's law is good, but God's law could not save us. God's law could not wash away our sin. But the one who was the fulfillment of the law, Jesus Christ himself, was standing before them. And he said, I'm the light! Not this other light out there. You know, it's kind of interesting about light because, you know what, trying to do things our way, trying to, no matter how noble it is to kind of clean up your act, which is a good thing to do, but no matter how noble it is to reform yourself and to get yourself better, that's kind of like, this is what it's kind of like. It's like going out today when it's that bright out, right? And looking around and saying, I need to see a little bit better. I'm going to shine my flashlight. You ever try to shine a flashlight outside in the daytime? That's like when we try to, by our own effort, try to clean ourselves up and do things and make ourselves. No, you can't do it. Only he can do it. He is the light of the world. Anything we bring in, any of our own philosophy, any of our own religions, any of our own thing else, that's like trying to shine a light. I mean, no. Yeah, now if you're in a really dark place, sometimes those philosophies can seem like true light because they're better than the complete darkness, but they cannot be the true light. Only Jesus Christ is the true light. And we alone have to understand something. He is the light of the world, but now he's left us here to shine his light into this world. See, he tells them people that he's the true light. He's the one, right? And his word and his truth is a light unto, you know, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? And then later in that chapter, verses 31 and 32, he says again to the people, the ones that were actually listening to his words, not the ones. See, he was getting pushback. See, the world wants to push back on the claims of Jesus. The world and the enemy, the devil, wants to keep us in darkness. So they want to push back on the claims of the gospel. They want to push back on the claims of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said he's the light of the world, they pushed back. The religious people pushed back. Who are you to say this stuff? Who are you? What are your credentials? All this kind of nonsense they say back to him. And he says now in verse 31 to the ones that were listening to him, he says to them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, church, Peter said, make sure you got the right light in you, because you're never going to dispel the darkness unless the true light is in your life. Jesus told them, yes, there's sin in this world, and it brings darkness, a pervading darkness, but only he can dispel that darkness, because only he is the true light. Malachi 4:2 says this, but to you who fear his name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Yes, it says S-U-N, but everybody knows that that's a reference to the S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness, who's the only one that could bring righteousness back into our lives. And when he brings that righteousness into our lives, then we can know the truth of his word, and that truth will set us free, and the light of God will shine and dispel all darkness. To the point where Psalm 30, verse 5, comes true. For his anger is but for a moment. And yes, does God hate sin? Absolutely. But his favor, it says, is for life. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know where you are in your scale of life, but if you don't have Christ in your life, then you're dealing with a Friday with no hope. And you're dealing with a Saturday, looks like it's never going to change. But if you heard this word today and you have either heard it for the first time that Jesus wants to bring light into the darkest places of your life, and only he could bring that light, and he only could bring that into your life if you receive his forgiveness on the cross and you accept that for yourself, then you'll know something. You have been no longer condemned by the one who can condemn you. You have been set free because he paid the penalty for your sin by dying for you on the cross. And when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you're not only forgiving, but the light of his love will cascade into your heart. And maybe you've received that before, but because you have gone back to some of your old ways, the darkness has crept in again, and you're just realizing the darkness. Or maybe the darkness of this life just is there, because it's there for all of us, saved or not saved, but you've forgotten the promises of God's word, that Jesus is the light, and you're walking in the darkness. No, walk in the light. Let the light of Christ not only just be just right over here, let it fill your whole life. Let his word be filling your heart and your mind. Meditate on it. Read it. Chew on it. Live it. Obey it. Be reminded of it. And then as his light fills every part of your being, then let that light, his light, not your light, let his light shine through you. Because that's why he left us, church, in this world. That once we know the truth, once the light has come into our lives, he wants that light, his light, not our light, his light to shine through us, that others may see that light and have hope and find that hope in him. So if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you can be witnesses of that light so that others may be set free also. Nothing else can do it, church. We're all being reminded of it again this morning. So regardless of what happened in your life, you know, George Harrison saw the sunlight and was inspired to write a song and maybe go follow a different path. But listen, that to you, you know where the true light comes from. Walk in that light. Show others that light. And rejoice in his light. Father, thank you for the freedom that comes from walking in the sunshine of your love. Oh, Lord, it's amazing. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you for the truth that you said would set us free. I pray today that your word that you promised is powerful, would cut away, Lord, the things in our life that need to be cut away. And Lord, like a wonderful scalpel in the surgeon's hand, it will bring healing and hope to everyone who hears it today. Father, we pray today for the one who has not yet walked into your light, that, Father, they would hear today that they have a hope that the darkness is not permanent, that the darkness can be dispelled, but that darkness, Lord, is there because of their sin, and they need to own that and recognize that. And then, Lord, as they do, they need to know what to do with that knowledge. And they heard today that they need to come to the true light, to your love, your forgiveness, to your grace, to repent of their sin, to receive your forgiveness, to be washed, to be clothed with your righteousness, the righteousness of the Son of Righteousness, and that, Lord, your light would pour into their life and they would be made whole. And then I pray, Lord, as they, as others who have heard this message today, would be reminded of their time when they came to the cross, that all the saints of God today, Lord, would begin to walk in that light. And as we walk in that light, Lord, your light, I pray that as it, Lord, dispels any bit of darkness within us, that, Lord, then it begins to shine through us so brightly that, Lord, everyone would take the bushel off of the candlestick, Lord. That we today would shine your light into a dark world, that others may know the truth and they would be set free. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of it not returning void. And we're going to testify to the change in our life and the impact on others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and encourage one another.